back quite so far. And maybe his blockers need to go a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage on their blocks.
Power eye formation for the Rockets. Pitch to Van Dorn. He's got some room to throw it. He throws it downfield, and it is caught, but it's caught out of bounds. Cave Larkin makes the catch, but he was sliding out of bounds with his feet, and they were out of bounds when he was able to receive that pass. That'll stop the clock with 8:21 here in the first half. And so the Rockets had ideal field position, and let's see if they're going to go for it here. I think you got to, Pat. I don't think we have a choice right now. Adams under center. Snaps the ball. Hands off. There's a fumble on play. Picked up by Van Dorn. They were trying to do a end around to the flanker, Jake Taylor, and it's retrieved by the Rockets, but loss of on downs gives the ball over to Pell Christian.
Yeah, that would have been a nice play, Pat, if we could have made the handoff and the grasp of the ball right there. I think we could have got some good yards out of that, but it just wasn't meant to be on that play.
All right, from the 48-yard line of Pell Christian, the Eagles will take over again. And they've had 10 possessions thus far tonight as three receivers go right, one to the left. They hand off up the middle. He's got some running room. He gets his about 10-yard run. We'll give it first to him at the 39-yard line of the Rockets.
He had a nice, very, very nice block by number 76. Alex Humea? I don't know if Human or Hyman? He pushed our guy down the field about 10 yards.
There was a loose ball, but Tipella was able to get back on them. And that's their second fumble of the night.
And unfortunately for us, though, Pat, they've been able to get both of them back.
Second down and about eight as two receivers are to the left, two to the right. Kat Rimsky takes the snap, takes the handoff, and we've got a penalty flag.
We made a motion against or false start against Pell Christian.
False start indeed. Good call. That's the third penalty on the night. 20 yards against the Eagles. That'll bring it back to about the 42 or 3 yard line, with second down and about 14. Kat Brinsky sends three receivers to the right, one to the left. If I'm not mistaken, he's just a junior this year. From the shotgun, takes the snap, drops back under a little bit of pressure. Got a man wide open in the secondary, makes one man miss. He's off to the races. He's at the 5, the 10, a touchdown for the Eagles. And just like that, lightning in a bottle, they're able to put up another score.
Yeah, Pat, like you said, he was wide open on that pass, and he made one nice little move and juked her defender, and off he went. I don't know if we need to close up or cushion we're giving the receivers tonight or what we need to do, but they're doing a heck of a job passing the ball. Hate to say it, but he looks just as good as the quarterback for Regina we played last week.
Exactly. So they're on the way to kick the PAT, and we're going to have an illegal substitution against Pell Christian. And the man in the white hat is going to count, and man run off, so that's going to be illegal substitution. 5-yard penalty against them. It was ball back 5 yards. But I don't think that's going to cause a problem on this PAT attempt. Not when he cranked a 35-yard field goal earlier. So, from the 15-yard line, they get a 25-yard extra point. There's a snap, the step, the kick, and it looks good, and it is good. And that'll make the score 54-0. in favor of the Eagles in the second quarter at the 7:17 mark.
Yeah, Pat, I'm not sure what Coach Berger would say to his kids right now to get them motivated. I know, you know, this is a huge, huge deficit that they have to try and overcome, but, you know, you're not playing for this week. You're playing for next week and the week after and the week after that to get these kids motivated and to, you know, to let them know, hey, you know, we can't just roll over. We can't not try. We've got to go out there and work as hard as we possibly can to get better for next week. And that's what they need to do.
Trey Van Dorn coming in. He'll take one of the spots back deep. Trey Moore is on the other side, as Solaire is ready to kick off another Fremont Country Store kick. Mike and Brandy Rocky sponsoring these kickoffs. And oh mercy, they have indeed. Solaire getting a workout with his left leg, and he kicks a swiver that is bouncing over there on the far sideline. Trey Moore has trouble picking it up, and he's going to get snowed under at about the 10-yard line or so. And tough sledding all around for the Rockets.
Yeah, that was it's a squib kick. He kicked down the field, and it took several sideways bounces, it looked like. It made it very hard to field for our kids.
10-yard line is where it'll be for Ava Blakesburg-Fremont. As Adams trots out there, and Jason Brazel. Up to the line, the senior. He was on the court, homecoming court for the week. So was Craig Van Dorn. Josh Amborn wore the crown as they hand off on the left side and getting a little bit of yardage on that first down play up to about the 12-yard line.
Yeah, Pat, right now is when we really need to dig deep out there. Line, you know, receivers, running backs, quarterback, they all need to start digging deep and put forth a nice drive here. Take some time off the clock. Like I said, let our defense get some rest and put some pressure on their defensive team.
Adams under center. And we have a guy move. Austin Gray jumped the gun there on that. And that'll be 5-yard penalty against the Rockets. And it'll be 25 yards of penalties. Moves it back inside the 10 to about the 6 or 7-yard line.
Oh, it sure seems like it's been a lot more than 25 yards. It just seems like they just, when we've been getting ninth, they've just been killing us.
All right. Rockets handoff up the middle. Got about 2 or 3 back up to the 10-yard line. And now it'll be 3rd down and long, 3rd and 10. And if they've got a trick play, they need to be pulling it out now. Jake Taylor in there with the play as Adams sends him up to the line of scrimmage. Power eye formation for the Rockets. Adams under center, takes a snap, turns to his left, looks downfield. Throws it out in the flat and overshoots his man, intended for Trey Moore, and he threw it over his head. So that'll bring 4th down. Another 3-and-out. Unofficially, Rockets do not have a 1st down.
Yeah, that's pretty hard to believe, Pat, that we haven't been able to get a 1st down this first half. But, you know, Christian's been playing some excellent defense against us tonight.
All right. Adams in punt formation. Back to receive for the Eagles is standing at the 40-yard line. Low snap. It's almost blocked. He gets it away somehow. And the ball rolls. Picked up at the 45-yard line. And he is brought down at the 40. Craig Van Dorn on the stop. You got to give him some kudos for doing everything out more as well. But the Eagles will have it inside the 40-yard line of the Rockets to start this
drive. And I'm not sure how Ryan got that run away, because there was a couple defenders staring right in the face there. I don't know how he did it, but he got it through there.
5:24 on the clock here. 54-0 is the score. Last week, the Rockets gave up 58 to Iowa City Regina. Oh, Christian's going to call a timeout. Hawkeye Real Estate, Robbie Davis. Buy, sell, or rent in the Eddyville, Bixburg, Fremont area. Call Robbie Davis, an EDF alumni. Continues to live and work in the Eddyville area, making him an expert in the local market. Call Robbie Davis today, 641-660-4413 for all your real estate needs. And Luke Harris, your local channel dealer, and Credenz Soybeans with the Liberty Link trait to kill those herbicides that are becoming resistant to Roundup Ready spray, as well as custom chemical spray and fertilizer application representative. Call your neighbor. Oh, yeah. Fall is here. Try Harris Ag Service for your fertilizer needs for next year. Call Luke to get your soil analysis today, 799-8640. Yep, they're shooting off to Indy, it looks like. That could be dangerous. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, I missed the play on the field. Can you believe that? I was having so much excitement watching the air gun. I don't know what happened.
It's the little things of life, Pat.
Yeah. There you go. Tell Christian gained 3 yards on whatever play it was. That had been a running play. They want to keep the clock running, and it does, at the five-minute mark in the half. And the Eagles actually look like they have a new quarterback in their room. Yes. Broom, the quarterback for the Eagles. Two receivers right, two left. Man in motion comes over here, but they run up the middle. He's got some room to run. Nice open field tackle there by number 38. That's Hinkle. Ryan Hinkle from his linebacker position. Nice tackle in the open field. Third down at about 5 or 6. Take your pick. As the Eagles have got their JV squad in there, and how much fun would that be to be a JV member playing in the first half in a District 6 game? Two receivers to the left, one to the right. Hand off on the right, sweep. He's got some room as he turns the corner. Gets that past the first down yardage, which is past the 30-yard line. It's a nice job out of them on that play.
Yeah, that was number 89 there, Pat, but I don't see his name listed, so apologize to the young man. Oh, wait, here it is. Noah Tramer, also number 35, JV player.
Split identification.
Yeah.
All right, two receivers to the right, one to the left, man in motion, run up the middle there, and another tackle by Hinkle, as they're able to read that. Nice job by Ryan. He's been a stalwart on defense last week and offense. He's been getting some time put in there. He's been able to make some decent plays, and they'll bring up second down at about 6.
That was Traven Cadwell there, Pat, number 30 for Pella Christian. Made a couple last runs just to come in.
Two receivers left, two to the right. Hand off right up the gut. They'll keep this clock running as Gabe Larkin tracks him down. The thing about the Rockets is they've got youth. And they're going to be called upon the rest of this year and next year heavily.
Yes, they will, Pat. And, you know, getting the playing time now as freshmen will help them. But, you know, some of them need to get a little bit bigger.
Yeah, you look at the seniors that we have, three seniors, and two of them are playing as the Eagles try a left sweep this time, and they're going to have that first down yardage picked up. And that's number 8, their 8th first down unofficially on the, and they'll crank the clock. It's right at 3 minutes here in the half.
That tackle is made by Dakota Boyer there, Pat, I believe.
Sophomore from Blakesburg. Like I said, they've got some youth there on the team. There's the snap, the run up the middle, and Nice job by Gabe Larkin, the freshman out of Chillicothe. A little gain on the play, be second and about eight or so, coming up for Tell Christian Eagles.
Yeah, they've got a completely different backfield out there for them right now, Pat, Tell Christian.
Right, you can't blame them. I mean, there's no sense risking a injury.
No, and no, not only that, but these younger kids' playing experience, so in case one of their starters does get hurt, you know, they've got some experience. They can step up and take the spot.
All right, there's a penalty flag thrown in backfield, and a delay of this fine sporting good outing. Move the ball back 5 yards.
Well, the officials are definitely going to have to wash their hankies after tonight.
Second down and about 15 now. Man in motion. They hand off to the running back, tries the right side, and the defense have been able to wrap him up a lot better now. Looks like Nolan Stetter is out there that made the grab for the Rockets. That's another young player. All right, third down about 12 or 13 or so with a 1:30 on the clock. Man in motion. Quarterback takes it, and he gets wrapped up. Nice job by Gabe Larkin to come off of that end spot to bring him down for a tackle for loss.
And Gabe did a nice job on that, reading the play and staying home on that. Made a nice tackle on the backfield for a nice big loss.
Fourth down coming up. I'd like to see him kick a field goal. The ball sits at the 32-yard line. It'd probably be a 50-yarder. I think they have a heck of a chance to get it. Instead, he'll send two receivers to the left, two to the right. Let's court down play. Man in motion. They'll give it to him on the right sweep. He's trying to turn the corner. There's a penalty flag thrown, and he gets wrapped up. Let's see if there'll be holding. It's thrown by the referee here in the backfield. And here you come. Yes, it's hold against the fellow Christian. I'd say decline that one, fellas, and get the ball over on downs.
Yeah, I think that's what they're going to do. Yeah, they declined it, Pat. You know, you can move them back another 10 yards and make them run it again, but, you know, they can run it this time and pitch it back by the end zone. That's something we don't need right now.
All right, the Rockets keep them out of the end zone. Ball will sit at the 23-yard line. So with 43 seconds left in the half, Rockets are able to keep them out of the end zone with the score of 54-0 here as the continuous clock will be winding here in the second half. There's the snap. You get to Van Dorn. He gets piled up there at the point of attack. I don't think they've changed their defense, though. They've still got their regulars in there on the defensive side.
Trade down on the bench start pack, getting tended to a little bit like I may have, getting his ankle retaped. I'm not sure who that was that ran that at that time.
Jake Taylor comes out on the play. Looked like Andrew Wright came in. Trey Moore is in the tailback position on the power eye. Adams takes a snap, gives to Moore. Tries to get some room, and there's a penalty flag thrown into the Rocket backfield.
That's the last thing we need, Pat. We're just really shooting ourselves in the foot tonight. I mean, we've got to be more disciplined on those things. We just, that's something we don't need to do to ourselves.
10-yard penalty is going to be marked off from the spot of the foul, and that's going to dig the Rockets into a deeper hole here. With 6 seconds left on the clock, and they'll wind the clock, and there's no sense in even running the play. The Rockets do come up to the line of scrimmage, and there's a whistle. That's halftime, and that'll be the half. So 54-0 is the halftime score, and I'll tell you what, Mike Lane, they threw everything that they had in the first quarter, rolling up a 37-0 lead, and then ballooning out threw a 54-0 lead at half. There's not a whole lot you can say about the rocket attack.
No, it's that Burns for Stripe, that, like I said, we had like a 3rd-and-3, and then we had that 5-yard penalty against us, really hurt us, and we just seemed like everything went downhill after that. We just could not get anything going.
All right, it is halftime here at Ike Ryan Field. 2015, the Rocket Band is making their way onto the field for their halftime performance, and the halftime festivities include the recognition of the 4-year letter winners, as well as the band comes on. 54-0 here is our score, and our first halftime guest is with us, Kerry Yarkowski, the head coach of boys, both the boys and girls cross country team, as well as the junior high squad. Glad to have you in the booth tonight.
Hi.
Tell us a little bit about the younger kids. It seems like there's a bunch of junior high kids out. Why do you think the enthusiasm for cross country out of this particular group of kids?
Well, I think it's because they're kind of seeing that they can be successful at running the distance. I've kind of built them up for their workout-wise. We start them kind of small and then get them up to the full distance. And we celebrate with some Friday fun days. The kids always enjoy that, and of course, we tend to attract them as well. So
excellent. And tell us a little bit about it in terms of who seems to be the top dogs there in the girls' field, and then we'll hit the boys' field after that.
Well, for the junior high, for the high school.
For the junior high, yeah.
The junior high, I have Madison Wade. Is going to be my number one girl runner. And on the boys' side, I have Aiden Yates and Alan Engel both.
Now, she actually won the girls' part of the Eddyville Invitational, which was held earlier this week.
Yeah.
On the junior high side. And how did her time compare to other times that she has ran this particular year?
Well, Madison is just continuously getting better. So she ran last year, and she averaged about a 7-minute mile. And this year, she's improved that. And so she ran about a 6:45, and we're hopefully going to get her down to about a 6:30.
Excellent. Do they have a couple more meets yet scheduled this year?
Yep, we are going to be done here in the end of October. So we have about 4 more meets left, one every Tuesday from here on out.
All right, and taking a look at the varsity side, we've got a girls squad and a boys squad running through the girls on the squad there that stands out for the Rockets this year.
Well, we have our young freshmen to be standing out. We have Jenny Savick, who has joined us this year, and then we also have Casey Flagg and her sister Emily, running for Indian Hills this year. So our freshman squad seems to be strong on the girls' side. And then our leader there is Claire Yeager as well. So.
And what about on the boys' side? There seems to be a large number of boys out for the varsity squad.
Oh, there's a very large number. And again, our freshman squad seems to be strong on the boys' side. Right now, number one runner is Peyton Walker, junior. And then after him comes our senior, Andrew Hart. And then we have Erwin Hodgkins and a bunch of freshmen after that that basically make up the rest of our varsity squad. It actually kind of changes up every week because there's so many boys and there's that competition and each one wants to always get there on that varsity squad. So it changes quite a bit every week.
Cross country is a sport that has a different slash unique scoring system. Tell us a little bit about how kids are scored to come up with the team number.
Well, basically, kids are scored by their place finishing. So if you finish first, you get 1 point. If you finish 12th, you get 12 points. And so the goal is to basically take the first 5 finishers for each team and add up their total scores. And you want to have your team wants to have the lowest score possible.
Just like in golf, you want to have the lowest score. the home event was here on Tuesday night, you got to feel kind of good about having a home meet, because not every school is able to host it. Usually they have to go somewhere like a country club or somewhere else to have a meet. We're able to have it right here on the campus, and that's going to make you say we're kind of unique and different because of that.
Right. It's absolutely great to be able to have it here. I mean, one, we get to train on it every day, so we kind of know the course. And then, two, I mean, it's just great to be able to show off our campus to all the incoming athletes and visitors that are going to come.
Well, tell us a little bit about the next step in terms of the end of the year. Is there a conference meet?
Yep, there's a conference meet. And so we're hoping that we can get up there and get a third place finish this year. We'll see. We have some pretty tough competition this year, so there's really good runners on some other teams. So we'll see how we do. And then after that, after a conference, our varsity squad will go to districts, and that's when we qualify for state.
Where's districts going to be held at?
District doesn't get announced until that first week of October, the first full week of October, so I don't know that yet.
So coming up next week?
Not next week, but the week after.
We'll find out where you go. Do you have a preference?
I'm hoping we get to go to Ames, Iowa State campus again. That one seems to be open, and so it's one of our possibilities. Hopefully we'll go there.
Well, good luck. I appreciate you coming in. It's halftime. We've been speaking with Terry Yarkowski, the head coach of the Annville Blakesburg Fremont cross-country squads with high school boys, high school girls, junior high boys and junior high girls as well. And as we said, we're at halftime, and we've got four-year letter winners. Sadie Boffer was just out here with girls track and softball. Cody Brown, Amber Davis with the band, Gage Dela Cruz with band and speech, Courtney Durst, Emily Flagg, Kayla Glosser, Jaren Glosser, Anna Hardy, Emma Hazel-Hune, Josh Johnson with wrestling, Hunter Johnston with wrestling, Hunter Kelderman with the band, Grace Lee, Allison Loving, Nate McGinnis, Madeline Mock, Blair Moore, Irene Roberts, Paige Schaefer, Jackson Boyles, Louis Winkleman, and Brett Worcester rounding out that group. A lot of kids heavily involved. Once again, it's halftime here at Dykrine Field. 64-0, the Rockets are in a hole, and they'll be trying to get out of it. But joining us now in the booth is head coach Gladys Jensko of the Eddyville Blakesburg Fremont Rocket Volleyball Squad. Coach Jensko, welcome into the booth tonight.
Well, thank you very much for having me. Kind of been a tradition here at the homecoming festivities here at Eddyville Blakesburg Fremont to have me on, and I'm excited about this season and to talk about my team.
Well, let's do first things first. You got a neat fundraiser going on there with the silent auction. The girls are able to make baskets, and then people bid on them, and it's kind of interesting to see how high those puppies will go.
Yeah, it is a little fun, and it seems like that they always come up with something that's really unique and, you know, sparks the interest of other people that, you know, want to, you know, purchase them, and, you know, it means that they have a really fun time. And this year we've got a lot of baskets out there, a lot of creativity, and so it's fun. So they've got about another 10 more minutes on those, and it's a good fundraiser for us. And, you know, as with any kind of program, you need those kind of funding, and just fun, you know, for the kids to have that opportunity to show their creativity off of the court.
Well, the bad thing about the position where I'm in, I bid before the game, and I have no idea if I'm going to make it to the end, but we'll see what happens.
I'm going to get down, though. I'll get a little sneak peek and let you know.
Well, let's talk a little volleyball. You have gotten off to a tremendous start on this season. You're basically a little past midway. Had a nice crowd against Centerville earlier this week on Tuesday night. You got to like where your kids are standing at on the season. And tell us a little bit about what's happening with the kids.
Well, we've even started off the season, you know, losing a setter, losing a, you know, strong outside hitter. And, you know, those two main positions, you'd wonder who's going to step up and come into those positions. And, you know, we started out going to the annual central camp, so we go, and, you know, things went, they went okay, and you're kind of thinking, oh, okay, how can we, you know, make this better? You know, the last couple of years, you know, we've gotten to the state tournament, we've had experience, you know, the same goals have kind of played together for quite some time, so, you know, now that you're back into that inexperienced type of mode, it's just, it's really hard, and it took, you know, it takes a lot of patience, and we're still right now, you know, we're still, you know, trying to get better, trying to get, you know, through the patience part and trying to find consistency, you know, in those inexperienced players. And, you know, surprisingly, you know, we get up against some really good competition, and we've had that with a couple tournaments. They have really, you know, stepped up to the plate where we need to, and we came out with wins. So it's just something that you find inside athletes that, you know, their competitiveness, they want to win, they'll do what it takes to win, and I've got those girls out there on the court, and that's what needs to be winners.
Well, you mentioned center, that was Paige Schaefer, and now she's playing ball for Wartburg, and then the outside here, Sadie Boffer, and she's playing volleyball for Central College. You've got a heck of a replacement with the freshman Emma Fennell in there for the same spot. Who's kind of taking that outside hitter spot then?
Well, right now, Tori Alexander played on the right side last year. We moved her over to the left side. She's doing a tremendous job over there. You know, with her height and things like that, I, you know, didn't know what was going to happen. Surprisingly, she has done a very good job. She's held her own. She hits the ball hard. She'll use the block if she needs to, and that's something that we need. She's playing all the way around, too. So her, you know, her serve is strong, and defensively she's doing well. She's just a sophomore, too, you know, but she comes from that history of Alexander that we had, so she's been around the game for a long time. So, you know, her experience of being just a sophomore seems to be even more at the junior-senior range anyway. So she's been a tremendous athlete for us. And, you know, with our setter position, you know, we're using Emma Bunnell, which is a sophomore, by the way. She, you know, we tried last year, you know, turning her into a setter last year because she had some really nice hands and, you know, tried to help her grow into that position last year. And this year, you know, from what we, you know, had to grow into, she's kind of taken that realm of being a varsity setter and said that she learns every day. You know, she's a hard worker. She's willing to learn. She takes, you know, a great kid to coach, and she just wants to do better and do the right thing. And we're also using Terry Jo Lane, who is also set as she's a junior this year and has set for the last couple of years as well, you know, on JV and freshman level. And we've brought her up into a position to help out, you know, that just had some more strength. But she's a tremendous server. You know, with somebody like that having those kind of skills as a serving weapon, not a lot of times that you have somebody that can just come in and be that serving weapon. We also can use her in that spot to be a setter as well. So, you know, we're kind of getting a little bit more for our buck there, but she has really came on strong too as well. So, you know, both of them inexperienced at the varsity level, but they're getting experience, they're learning, and they're getting better. And, you know, we can't ask any more from them. You know, so hopefully they'll gel into the mix here with everybody, and especially when they're going into this last half of the season.
Well, the thing I noticed about Emma Bunnell, when she makes a set and it's not quite where the hitters want it, they'll come up and tell her, and she's able to be coached on the floor by these upperclassmen. They've kind of taken her under the wing, and they don't degrade her or begrudge her. They help her out to make her better, to make those passes picture perfect there for those awesome spikes that they have by Carly Taylor and Taylor Fleffler.
Yeah, and that's one of that, you know, everybody's job. They need to better the ball, whatever ball they have, and they know they need each other to make it all work, and they're very, very, you know, understanding. They help each other out, and, you know, they know they're nervous. You know, they're just young. You know, and haven't been in that kind of atmosphere, that kind of competitiveness that, you know, that goes on at the university level. But she's willing to learn. She's willing to do whatever it takes, you know, to try to make it better. She's, you know, getting better every day.
You've got into the mode of doing tournaments on the weekends. You got one planned for tomorrow then?
Oh, actually, we're off. We've been on the road for the last 3 weeks, and we do have this one off, and we go to Newton the following week, which we'll see Harlan. I believe they're rated third, I want to say, in class 4A, 3A. You know, so it's going to be good competition again, and we need that, and our kids have so far rise to that competition level, even though we don't see a lot of that on a daily basis like some other teams do. But, you know, we just rise around the competition that we get, because, you know, this time of the year, we need that competition going into the last half of the season, which in a couple tournaments we do get with that type of competition.
Well, I was just browsing on the Iowa Girls Athletic Association website. Maybe you've seen this, too. Our picture is right there on the front webpage there, and it's kind of interesting. What a beautiful shot. Faye Schaefer is just by way to set her as his setting, and it's one of those types of deals where you can't you can't ask for a more picture perfect setting to have on there as the spread of the court and having the kids in place and to be on the state website. That's kind of interesting and exciting to see.
It is, because just a couple nights ago, I clicked on there for some reason, and I'm like, I was looking at the picture, and I'm thinking, I know these people, and it was just really neat, because all of a sudden, then I went, I text Paige, and I said, Paige, I said, you got to get on the website and take a look. She thought that was one of the neatest things, too. I mean, how often, you know, the state of Iowa, Eddieville, Blakesburg, Fremont, being right there on that homepage, it's, I mean, that's exciting. And actually, the picture was from a couple of years ago, because I was looking at the uniform numbers, and it's Thomas Alexander that was in the back. And so it's like, that is even more neat that, you know, they still remember from even 2 years ago, not just from last year, too. So, and that's just, you know, something that, you know, they all should be very proud of, because we've got some people that are recognized and have a lot of respect for, you know, our volleyball team. You know, here at our, you know, kind of our little area down here, and that's just really neat, and should be very proud of that.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're at halftime here at Ike Ryan Field, where the Rockets are in a big bowl, 54-0. But I'm talking with Coach Gladys Jensko of the highly touted Eddieville Blakesburg Fremont Rocket volleyball squad, and kind of a cool thing to talk about, Coach Jensko, is on October 13th, the Rockets will be venturing down to Davis County at Bluefield, and KIIC 96.7 FM will have it live and on the air for that highly anticipated match between a couple of tough conference foes. And we'll be, Mike and I will be bringing that action back to the people here live on the radio.
Yeah, that'll be exciting, because, you know, we normally don't get any type of coverage except, you know, when it comes to postseason, and you know, to have to go down to Davis County and have that kind of atmosphere down at Davis County, that's exciting to play in, you know, just in itself. And it was just kind of interesting how the Centerville came over. They came over the other night, and boy, it kind of drove that kind of atmosphere like we get down there at Davis County, and it was exciting. You know, I think our girls, you know, a little bit to get through, you know, a little bit of those nerves of, you know, having somebody from an opponent coming to your home court with the crowd that they have and the excitement that they have. But, you know, after winning that first game, they finally settled down and took care of business in the second game. But, you know, Davis County, there's always an atmosphere to play in. And, you know, we saw Davis County at the summer tournament, and, you know, we played well against them, you know, but it's just a matter of, you know, playing that conference school in that type of atmosphere makes a whole big difference. I mean, it's a growing time, especially for those that are, you know, inexperienced and haven't played under that type of atmosphere.
Well, the thing I noticed about that match against Centerville, they scored their most points in the first one, and then after that, they scored less and less. And that tells me that the girls wanted to put them away sooner than later, and they did it with their inspired ball. And really, it was the blocking up front, I thought, and the inability of Centerville to block us with our spikes that made the difference in that ball game.
Well, I think that first game we kind of went out, you know, knowing that Centerville was coming in and they had one big agenda, and we were not going to allow that to happen whatsoever. But, you know, so I think they kind of went with a little bit of, you know, kind of nervousness, anticipation, that, you know, kind of having that adrenaline flowing, and I think it was flowing just a little bit too much. You know, and it just took them a while to settle down and you know, figure out that, you know, we're going to just wear them down. We're going to, you know, quit making some of the errors. I think that first game, we kind of, you know, was a little too anxious to try to get up and block, you know, tipping some blocks instead of, you know, getting a good block and good hands on the ball, and kind of found it a little hard to chase down the ball at times, and, you know, just making some errors. You know, things that you seem to make sometimes when, you know, you just, the unknown, you know, and the excitement of the crowd and things like that. So, You know, once they settle down, that second and third game was a lot better. But still, that atmosphere is what is the kind of competition that we need, because that's what's going to happen in the postseason.
Speaking of which, postseason, the Rockets will be able to host one or two games there.
Well, normally they'll give us at least one or two. Yeah, I assume they'll probably give us our two, and then they'll probably move on to another venue where they, can offer a bigger site for, bigger crowds to come in. And that's one thing that kind of limits us of being able to have a lot here, at the higher levels, because, we can't house as many people, so then they send us somewhere else.
Well, once again, KIIC will be able to bring that live action to you once Edville Blackford Fremont gets into the tournament action in volleyball to bring you the matches live on 96.7 FM, and we will be excited to do that, Coach, and take it all the way to Cedar Rapids up there at the U.S. Cellular Center for the state tournament.
Yeah, we hope that's what our mission and our goal is right now, is to, play as long as we can play, improve right now, get better so we can get to that next level so we can get back up there. It's going to be another goal and another, history in the making, too, of, getting to the state tournament 3 years in a row.
Very good. We've been chatting with Coach Gladys Jensko of the Edville Lakesburg Fremont Volleyball Squad, and Coach Jensko, best of luck to you the rest of the way.
Thank you very much, and thanks for the community support, too, that you guys continue to give us throughout the season, and we love the coverage. Thank you so much.
Glad to do it. We're halftime here at the Ike Ryan Field 2015, where the four-year letter winners have been on the field. The band has played. Dr. Joe Overton has been in control of the band for several years. They are in prime time shape for their run as they start their going to contests on Saturday and ending up with the Mid-Iowa Band Championships up in Ankeny later on in October. They're getting primed and ready for that with their flag deals, their solo people, and they're just about ready to be in prime tip-top form. Coach Mike Lane with me here at halftime. Did you see anybody that you knew during the halftime break?
Yes, yeah, I'm alive.
Well, lucky you.
No, just stepped out for a little bit while you were talking to their two coaches, and hopefully we're get a little bit more life in this here.
As that ball is kicked off, Ryan Hinkle picked up that loose ball as short squib kick got all the way to the 50-yard line, so excellent job by Hinkle once again as he took that ball on the short squib kick and returned it to the 50-yard line to start this third quarter. And if this squad is true to form, you know that Coach Bear has made adjustments at halftime and got those kids ready to give a better effort here in the third quarter.
Yeah, that's what we're going to need here, pal. We need them to really fire off the ball and drive off the ball and get some room for our runners to run.
And right there on cue, Trey Van Dorn gains 3 yards on that first down carry. Comes up a little bit gimpy. Well, Dakota Boyer's a little bit gimpy. He'll stay in there, however, as Jake Taylor comes off. Gabe Larkin comes in. Kopke comes over the ball, the senior, Tumwa, Iowa. Ryan Adams, underneath center. Power eye formation. Takes the snap. Gives it to Van Dorn on the right side. He's got some room to run, but he's brought down short of the first down yardage. I think he had a little bit of indecision there on the right side before he made his cut to the inside.
Yeah, he did, Pat. Like, he couldn't decide if he wanted to go keep it inside or go to the outside on that.
That'll bring up third and four from the 44-yard line of Pella Christian here as we get into the third quarter. A big third down attempt right here. Adams takes the snap, gives it to Van Dorn straight up the gut. He is able to get past the 40-yard line. First down for the Rockets. Unofficially, they didn't have any first downs in the first half. That's a first down by the Valdizen Chiropractic. Your Valdizen Chiropractic needs can be met in downtown Eddyville. Let Dr. Valdizen provide you with the comfort you're looking for through a skill care and wellness program. Rockets back up the line of scrimmage. First and 10. They put to the second man, and that is Moore. he's able to get about 5 yards on the left side there and finally blow the whistle dead. But nice job on first down out of him. Yeah, well, he did a nice job keeping his legs moving and had a nice little gain there. All right. Looks like Austin Engel's coming out of the game. Engel, yeah. He's holding his right arm behind his back. I'm not sure if it's his right hand or if it's back that's hurting him. Might be his hip, yeah. They're looking at his right back hip, lower back. Adams under pressure, and he's dropped from behind, and there's a penalty flag thrown also there in the backfield. The man in the white hat threw it, and he's got a illegal use of hands. Or is it holding? I can't tell. I think it was holding, Pat, but you know, I was just noticing on that play, just like in the first half, that we're just not firing off the ball very quick. Our line, you know, it even looks like our handoffs are a little bit slow to what they need to be, and we need to get that stuff picked up and get a little bit more quickness back there, and maybe we can get to our blocks a little bit quicker, and we can make some yardage. Paul Christian declines that holding penalty against the Rockets. Third to down and about 8. There's a quick toss to Van Dorn. Looks to throw. He's under duress. Cuts back to his left. Fumble the ball and is picked up by the Rockets. A alert lineman is on there. Number 75. Is that CeeLo? Nope. Tyler Corcoran was able to get that. Good job out of Tyler to snag that ball. That would have been the worst thing to happen for the Rockets, is drop the ball inside the Pella Christian territory. They'll bring a fourth down and long, about 15 to go. So on the first possession by the Rockets, they get a first down, but then nothing more. There's a snap, a step in the kick, and it's a low line drive. It's blocked, and it's back to Ryan Adams. He picks it up, and he drops the ball, and Pella Christian's going to pick it up. Oh, Ryan, you didn't drop that ball, and that was another fumble, and it's picked up by Pella Christian, and they returned it inside 35 to the 34-yard line. Only thing I can think of, Pat, you must have thought that since the ball was kicked and that he recovered, it could be advanced, but you know, that's totally wrong. I mean, that he got to pick that up and run with it. He had a little bit of a lane here to the left side of the field. He may have been able to get some yardage, but I don't. He probably wouldn't be able to get the first down on it, but he, at least he would have got a few positive yards there and kept them away from the end zone a little bit farther. All right. Back out here comes Vroom. Hand off. They try a left sweep, and he is brought down for no gain. Good job out of the defense there for the Rockets. And boy, things aren't going well when you got a low kick like that. You got blocked by the interior line and ricocheted back to the kicker. And then picks it up, and then he drops it. And I thought Christian could have walked right in. Lucky for the Rockets, Adams was able to turn around and tackle him again. I don't think Pella Christian kids knew what was going on either there. Angle looks like he jumped off sides on the hard count, and that's going to be 5 yards against the Rockets. For Austin Engel, he comes out injured, and then lo and behold, he has a penalty on second and long to make it second and six manageable, I guess is what they say on that. Broom with man in motion. Hands off to the inside. He's got some room to the outside. 33 does. He cuts back towards the inside of the field, and he'll be close to that first down at the 20-yard line. I think they'll give it to him. That's his first down of the night. Yeah, he had a couple nice cutbacks on that run, Patty. Took it to the outside, and he kept back inside a little bit and took a couple steps out. First and 10 for Pella Christian at the 20-yard line. Two receivers to the left, two to the right. Man in motion comes from the right. There's a penalty flag thrown in the backfield. And it's procedure against Pella Christian. Their first penalty of the second half. They had 5 in the first half for 30
yards.
This umpiring crew's got a little bit of a communication gizmo, so everybody can talk to everybody via the microphone. That way they don't have to go talk to each other. Nice play in the backfield by Gabe Larkin. Tackle for loss. His room tries to run over the left side there, but Gabe was able to take him down in the open field. Yeah, it was a nice tackle.
Did a nice job of not taking the fake and stayed right with him in a nice low tackle.
All right, Paul Christian was second and long, making about 15 from the 26-yard line. There's the snap. Quarterback Broom rolls to his right, looking downfield. He tosses it. It's complete at 15-yard line. That'll make it 16. It'll be third down coming up. 5 minutes on the clock, on this continuous clock. This second half will roll a little bit quicker.
Yeah, it looks like Trey Moore came off the field with a little bit of a limp.
Yep, he's hunched over here on the sidelines, being looked at by the staff. Broom, two receivers to the left. Man in motion going to the left. He cuts it inside, and he gets first down yardage inside the 10 to about the 8 or 9 yard line.
Yeah, another nice run there. I think it's number 3 for Pelicans, Nathan DeBruin. Nice run, nice cutback.
All right. First and goal for the Eagles from the 7-yard line. Make it to 8. Room at the controls. Two receivers left, two to the right. Inside run. The ball's loose on the ground, and the Rockets get it. There's an Eddie Valley Miller turnover. With Scott Greer. Good job by the Rockets.
Nice job there. Puts pressure on him and got his hand in there, or maybe he just dropped the ball, but nice recovery. We needed a nice defensive stop.
All right. Rockets will have it at the 8-yard line.
Long way to this drive.
Yeah, go.
With that long way to go here, we just need to get it out, get some yards, move the ball down the field.
Adams pitches to Van Dorn. He brings it over here on the left side. He turns the corner, lowers his shoulder, and is able to pick up some more runs. That's the Trey Van Dorn that we know, and he is able to get up. Leffler dirt work run of 10 yards or more, and a Veldheim chiropractic first down in one fell swoop.
That was a nice run by Trey there. Got to the outside real quick, and we can nice cut up the field. I think that's probably our longest play of the night.
That it is, Mike. Rockets hand off to Van Dorn right up the middle. Good push by the offensive line there, and he moves the ball past the 30 to about the 34-yard line. That's what we wanted to see in the first half, and I told you that the offensive adjustments were going to happen here at halftime. I'll tell you one kid that we haven't seen, and he's on the sideline. He needs to be in pads if he can, but he's got injury. Cam Hardy, he played with reckless abandon the first 2 weeks, but he's been on the sideline ever since. And the Rockets jumped now, I think.
I don't know, Pat. I don't know how they can call that against us, because they're calling against Pella Christian because the kid moved and kind of jumped in the neutral zone, and our offensive lineman came across.
All right. 5 yards against the Eagles will help out tremendously. That's a first down. Veldheim's and chiropractic first down. And that's 3 for the Rockets. They didn't have any in the first half. Van Dorn gets the mail again. It's past the 40 to about the 42-yard line. And that's the bad thing about the offensive set that they just had with it. So a grind-it-out type deal. And it's tough to catch back up once you're down because it's going to eat up a lot of clock.
Yeah, I think we need to get a little bit more urgency on our play calls, get them in there a little bit quicker and get some more plays off.
Adams turns, runs it to the right side on the quarterback keeper, tries to turn the corner. He does. He's past the 50 and into Pellet Christian territory at the 43-yard line. Nice run by Adams. Gives the Rockets a Bellheisen chiropractic first down and that Leffler dirt work run of 10 yards or more.
That was a real nice run by Ryan right there. He made a nice little bootleg around to the right side. Did a good job of going to the sideline and cutting up the field. Nice run.
Larkin comes out and Wright goes in on the first down play from the 43-yard line of Pella Christian. Underneath center is Adams. Takes the snap. Hands off to Moore. He's got some running room over on the right side. It's past the 45, about the 44-yard line. Nice gain on first down. As the clock is under a minute here in the third quarter. Now they put it right on the 40-yard line. Second and six. There's a snap. Van Horn right at the guts. And they're still pushing the pile. Not quite to the 35-yard line. Make it about the 36. And they'll bring up third down and about three, maybe four, three and a half. Got to be in that neighborhood somewhere.
Yeah, we're probably not going to get it off when the third quarter's over here, Pat.
Okay. And 6 seconds, 5 seconds. Adams does snap it. Gives to Van Dorn, and right when he was to the point of attack, his feet went out from under him, and that will do it for the third quarter. 54-0. As the Rockets had the possession twice in the third quarter, Pell Christian had it once, and they were not able to score. Of course, they've got the JV squad offense in there helping them out a lot.
Yeah, that is, like I talked earlier, that gives Pell Christian a good chance to see some of their younger kids get out there and take the snaps against the varsity team, and, you know, like we said, it can only do good things for them. Get those younger kids more experience. And like I said, when a starter goes down, those kids can come in and take their spot. It's kind of a win. It's a real big win-win situation for them right now.
That's right. Okay. Fremont Funeral Home, with a couple of passes. Fremont Funeral Home to provide you with honest, dependable, and professional assistance through a difficult time as Trey Van Dorn comes out of the pile and he's able to score from 36 yards out. Trey Van Dorn puts the Rockets on the board in the first play of the fourth quarter.
That was an awesome run, Patty. Took it right up the gut. Wasn't anything there. He bounced out to the outside, sprinted to the end zone for a score. Great run.
All right. Van Dorn inching his way to 100 yards as he was able to pick up 36 right then and there. And that was kind of like against Wes Marshall when it was close to the end of the game. He got into the pile, and lo and behold, he comes out the other side, puts it in from about 18 yards. Here's a two-point conversion. Adam throws, and it's tipped, and it's no good. It was caught. It was tipped by a receiver. And then it was caught by the second guy, but he was out of bounds. I think it was Andrew Wright that made the catch, but he was a little bit too far out.
That's too bad. That was a nice hustle try there to be ready for that tip. Just had to be outside, out of the end zone just a little bit out of bounds.
It reminded me of Franco Harris, the immaculate conception reception there against the Oakland Raiders in a huge playoff game. Fremont Funeral Home will be able to take a stressful situation, bring a calming effect. Call the Fremont Funeral Home next time you need, 933-4315. And let's give a shout-out to Angie Lothric and Blush Boutique, downtown Edville, where she sponsors all the touchdowns, and you can get your official Rocket gear there. She also has got jewelry, clothing, shoes, and home decor. Personalize a T-shirt to support your Rockets with the number one fan or your kids' jersey number. Open
Tuesdays and Saturdays. If the Rockets score 4 touchdowns and any varsity football win, you get 25% off any one item the following Tuesday only. Lush Boutique can be found on Facebook as well. That's with Angie Lobrick in downtown Eddyville. And the Rockets are going to be able to have another kickoff here from the Fremont Country Store with Bracken Taylor to tee it up here at the Icarine Field.
Yeah, he's talking about Franco Harris there against Raiders. I'm trying to remember what year that was. Is that 72?
I think it
72
was
72 or 73, maybe?
I think it was a little later than that, but don't quote me. All right. Bracken Taylor teeing it up. Let's see if we can pull off an onside kick. He approaches. They do have the onside kick, and it does not go the 10 yards. It does go out of bounds, so they'll have another opportunity to kick it again, unless Kyle Christian declines it and takes the ball right there.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to take the ball at the 50, Pat.
All right. Eagles with the first possession of the fourth quarter from the 50-yard line. And the Rocket kicking team is still out there, and they're saying, what's the deal?
I don't think they know what,
now
they're sure what's going on here.
Yeah, now they're getting in position. Riley Boggs is coming in there. Number 56, there's a snap. They're running over on the right sideline. They got a flag that's thrown in the backfield for Pella Christian. And they got a procedure call with the third penalty of the half against Pella Christian, 15 yards in the penalties here in the second half. And that moves the ball back into Pella Christian territory at the 45-yard line here in the fourth quarter. 11:40 on the clock as Broom brings him up, two receivers to the right, two left. He takes the snap, rolls to his right, looking to throw. Throws it deep down the field, and he's got his man open. He's got room to run, and he's going to take it into the end zone for a score. From the 45-yard line, make it a 55-yard catch and run for the Eagles, and they have been flying through the air tonight, Coach Lane.
Well, they sure have, Pat. That's another beautiful pass by their quarterback. And that was his third or fourth pass that he's thrown since he's been in there. And their backup had a nice throw there. Really nice one.
All right, Solaire to come on to try that PAT to make it 61-6. Oops. Number three, I'm sorry, Brian. There's the snap, the step, the kick. It looks good, and it is good. 61-6 is our score here from Ike Ryan. And I'll tell you what, if you like fireworks, they've had them tonight.
They have had, it had some really nice scoring plays tonight. Trying to add up what their scoring yardage has been. That's 90, 111, 147, about 199 yards, pretty close to it. Well, that was just in the first half, so they're about 250 yards on the passing touchdown yards tonight.
Don't forget, harvest will be underway soon. Market your corn with Cargill of Eddyville this fall. Call 1-800-515-1105. That's Cargill here at Eddyville. And Ajay Tomorrow Heartland is a sponsor of the Rocket Football Squad. They manufacture and distribute cost-effective, feed-grade amino acids and is the front-runner in amino acid nutritional research and technical expertise as the Eagles get set to kick off here again, another Fremont Country Store kick. And it's going to be DeBrian to kick this one off here at the 11:22 mark in the fourth quarter. He approaches and kicks end over end and deep. Coming down, it's bobbled by Van Dorn. He picks it up. Right at the field he comes. He's got the room to go. He's at the 50, the 40, the 30, the
25-20. The 15-10-5 touchdown Rockets with Trey Van Dorn going the distance.
You know, a lot of times you see a guy fumble the ball and mishandle a little bit on the kickoff, and you kind of get the team that's coming down to make those tackles kind of slow down a little bit and get out of their lanes a little bit. And Trey did a nice job of taking that right up the middle and getting some nice blocks from his players in front of him and had a nice run.
We're going to ring him up for an 80-yard touchdown run. And I'll tell you what, he had a burst of speed as well. He was running fast, and then he kicked it into overdrive at about the Eddyville Bedford Fremont Rocket 40, and he was able to take it in. Two-point conversion coming, and the ball is on the ground, and that picked up. They tried that reverse again from the right side, and Jake Taylor put it on the ground, and that'll leave the score 61-12.
That was the second time we've tried to run that play tonight, Pat. Both times we've had miscues on the handoff.
And we can't have that.
No, we can't. Not against as good a team as Pelican is. In fact, we can't do that against anybody.
That's true. That is true. All right. Trying to get the score to so that they can put it on the Thunderbolt app and inform everybody in the area that the Rockets have put up another touchdown to make it 61-12 here at Ike Ryan Field at the homecoming 2015. So we'll get another Fremont Country Store kick with Mike and Brandy Rocky as the Rockets get set with freshman Keith Hutton coming in on late on kickoff coverage. And Brack and Taylor to tee it up. And, you know, you might as well try your onside kick play because you're going to use it again, Tom Christian, with nine people up near the line of scrimmage. There it is, high bouncer. And it's still loose, and it is barely picked up in time. Nice hit over here on the sidelines by Dylan Howard. Good to see him back on the field again. But Pella Christian was able to come up with that puppy at about the 35-yard line.
Yeah, they did a nice job. Like I said, Pat, they were ready for it. They had a lot of the players up there to their hands team, like we like to call them. And ball had took a couple nice bounces for us, but it just didn't quite come down quick enough for us to get it.
All right, from the 35-yard line comes PC. And one of the few times tonight they've had the ball on their side of the 50 to start a drive. Looks like they got a new quarterback in there. We'll try to get his number. And there's motion, illegal motion. It's going to be against Pella Christian.
That's number 15, Brent Rosa.
Okay. Third quarterback in for the Eagles. As Kak Brinsky did his work early and often in the first quarter, he played about half of the second quarter, and then he's been out of the ball game the rest of the night. All right, Pelican first and 15. There's the snap, low snap. They give it to the runner, and he's able to be tackled after gains a short gain of about three or four as the clock continues to wind here at the 10:22 mark.
Yeah, you see that a lot of times, Pat, when a new quarterback comes in, that you get a motion call against your team because they're not used to his cadence or his snap count.
Exactly. All right. Second down coming up. There's a right-end run again, and he turns it up the field. He's got the first down and more. He's still on his feet at the 30, the 35, the 20, the 15, the 10. He takes it in for a score, a 70-yard run for number 89. That's Tramer, and that'll put the icing on the cake for sure.
We've got a player down on the field over there at second, Dylan.
Dylan Howard took a spill.
I didn't see what happened over there, Pat. I was watching the runner. 70-yard romp to the end zone, and they're taking a peek over there. Looks like they've got lots of help. Looks like fellow Christian trainers have come over to take a peek as well. William Penn University, let's make a statement at Penn. William Penn Experience provides an active learning environment that encourages students to develop and strengthen the mind, body, and spirit. With over 25 student organizations, there's always something to do. Get involved in a student life is a great way to be a statesman. For more information, www.williampenn.edu/studentlife for more information. And we're pleased to have William Penn, Ajinomoto Heartland, and Cargill on board, as well as Eddyville Builders, Hawkeye Real Estate, Heron Ag Service, Riverside Auto Supply, Blush Boutique, Leffler Works, the Fremont Country Store, Velheisen Chiropractic, and the Fremont Funeral Home. As Dylan Howard is up under his own power, but he is being assisted under each arm by Rocket Trainers, and he probably got his bell run there.
Maybe he's favoring one of his ankles here, Pat.
Well, that's what he had a couple weeks ago. He had a problem with the ankle. Let's see what happens over here on the sideline. Yep, you're right. Looks like his ankle for sure, as the PAT attempt is just about ready to go. There's the snap, the step, the kick. You know, looks good, and it is good. And so Pella Christian is able to ring up another 7 points to make it 68-12. You talk about an offensive fireworks. Boy, I'll tell you what.
Now, they've scored just about every kind of way they can score tonight. Long passes, nice short runs, some long runs, and had a 35-yard field goal there in the first half, and had some nice long pass plays. Plus, we gave them a safety in the first half also.
That's right. And so they'll be teeing it up again for another Fremont Country Store kick. The Rockets send back Dakota Boyer and Trey Van Dorn on this kick with 9:49 on the continuous clock in the fourth quarter here at Homecoming 2015. Let's see how they do this one. It's on the ground, bouncing up. Rockets touched it, fielded it, fumbled it, and it's going to be recovered by the Rockets. And they'll have it at about the 31 or 2-yard line.
Yeah, the ball almost got away from us down there. One of our receivers went out and jumped to catch it and bounced off his hands. The ball landed on the ground. Fortunately for us, we recovered it.
Fortunate indeed, as the Rockets come up down 68-12. As Van Dorn's still in there in the backfield. Brian Adams brings it over here on the right side, gets it up the field, gets about to the 39-yard line, where he'll be second and short. Nice run by Ryan.
Yeah, was bad. He did a good, nice job getting out to the outside quick and cutting it upfield.
That'll make it second and about seven, or excuse me, gained about seven on that play. Power eye formation for the Rockets. Adams takes it, gives it to Van Dorn. He gets hit, pushing his legs ahead, gets past the 40 to about the 42-yard line, and they're going to take a peek and see. He's going to be short of the first down. It's going to be third and about one.
It wasn't a lot closer, Pat. The umpire kind of kicked the ball back about half a yard. Now he moved back another half here. I'm not sure what's going on there.
Yeah, well.
It was one of those left foot, right foot steals.
All right, Adams takes the snap, gives it to Van Dorn. He tries the right side, and he gets stuffed in the backfield by the Eagles. And it's going to be fourth down coming up. He actually lost about a yard. Down in about two. TV players here out here playing for Philip Christian are doing a nice job defensively here on this drive. Under center, Kopke goes over the ball. Under center is Adams. Power eye formation. Takes the snap and the give. And he is able to get the first down at the 45-yard line. Good job by Greg Van Dorn. That's a double-edged cover first down for the Rockets. Another nice run by Trigg right there. Gets his legs going, you know, like we've talked about all year with him. He gets a lot of extra yards when he gets hit that first time and just keeps his legs pumping. All right, power eye formation again. Adams under center, and there's movement on the other side there. Austin Gray jumps the gun for the Rockets, and that would be the third penalty of the second half for 10 yards. In the first half, Rockets had 7 penalties, and they cut down on those mistakes. Of course, with the continuous clock running, the time is a lot less in terms of play time. Adams takes the snap on first down, pitches to the left, Van Dorn tries to cut it upfield, reverses this field, and he slips and falls, trying to cut back to his left. Yeah, it's too bad that, because he could have got back around this way. He had a lot of help over here on this side. Could have made a really nice run. Backs him up even further, second and about 20 from the Rockets' 36-yard line. Well, looking ahead to next week, it doesn't get any easier in District 6 play. The Rockets are going to be traveling to Sigourney to take on the Cobras as Ryan Adams takes this and pitches it down the field, and it overshoots everybody by about 5 yards. Van Dorn had a step on his receiver, but the Rockets just couldn't quite make the connection there on that pass play. Yeah, not too bad at that, because receiver has a little bit of room around him, and he could have made that catch. Could have got the ball thrown to him where he could have caught it. Could have made some nice yardage. Instead, it'll be third and 20, as Rockets send 3 guys out here to the right side. Adams, shotgun, takes it, runs to his right side, cuts it up the field, and he is going to be brought down past the 40 to about the 42-yard line, close to the original line of scrimmage, but it'll be fourth and long for this play coming up. Yeah, Pat, earlier this kind of plays you just got to go for. Down by the score that we are, we've got to get some momentum and get some confidence in ourselves. All right, Kopke over the ball at center. Adams, under center, on the power eye formation. Pitch to Van Dorn, right side sweep, cuts it up, and he'll be short of the first down at the 50-yard line, and they'll turn it over on downs. Yeah, there just wasn't much room out here for him to run, Pat. Eagles will take over at the 50-yard line, and they have had spectacular field position all night long. One of their longest worst positions was the first series. They were at their own 36-yard line. One play and 64 yards later, they had a touchdown on the board with the extra point to make it 7, and they haven't looked back since.
No, they haven't, Pat. Like we said earlier, they've been hitting on all cylinders all night.
Rosa is the quarterback for Pelt Christian, 2 receivers to the right, 1 left, and there is a whistle, and there's going to be a timeout to Pella Christian, their first of the second half. And, of course, all of our timeouts are sponsored by Hawkeye Real Estate with Robbie Davis if you're looking to buy or sell real estate in Eddyville, Wakeford, Fremont area, call Robbie Davis with Hawkeye Real Estate, an EBF alum who continues to live and work in the Eddyville area, making him an expert with the local market. Whether buying, selling, or renting a house, call Robbie Davis today at 641-620-4413 for all your real estate needs. And Dylan Howard, indeed, is on the sideline here having his ankle take a peek at. He just came off the DL. He was on the DL for 2 weeks, wasn't it? It was the Iowa City game? Yeah. Well, then I guess it was 1 week, but he was dinged up then, I'm suspecting that it's the same ankle again this time. Rockets on the defense here as the clock will wind at 3:30 left on this homecoming game. Eagles take the snap, inside handoff to number 30, tries the right side, and he gets past the midfield stripe to about the 46-yard line, where they'll have a second down coming up.
You've got a couple new faces out there. Number 5, I'm not sure who that is. He's not on our roster that we have.
Oh, I bet it's Wyatt Klein.
Is it? Oh, he's got number 2 here in the program. Maybe
yep.
It is Wyatt.
Wyatt's a freshman out of Lakesburg, Iowa. There's 2 people in motion. They better throw a flag there. And running play, and that's about 1 yard. And they'll have illegal motion against the Eagles there. They saw each other come in motion, and then they looked at each other. It's like one of us isn't doing the right thing. And then they hand the ball off to the tailback, and he got stuffed at the middle of the interior. The penalty is actually declined, Mike. So they take the play because he didn't mean anything, and they'll bring up 3rd down and 7 with under 3 minutes to go here at iCrime. Rosa sends 2 receivers to the right, 1 left. Got man in motion. They hand it off up the middle, and he will get nowhere. Good job by the interior defense. Gabe Larkin there, Kofke, as well as 73 for the Rockets, and he's not listed in the media guide. 4th down coming up. Make it about 4 yards for the Eagles here as the clock is winding to 2:15. Rosa, 2 receivers to the left, 2 to the right. Man in motion comes his way, and they hand it to him, and he gets swarmed under. Nice job of the defense collapsing that line of scrimmage. CeeLo Colby Lopez is able to wrap him up, and Pella Christian goes 3 and outs. And the Rockets will take over at their own 45-yard line. Well, next week, Mike and I will be traveling to Sigourney, and the Rockets will have a tall task in order, as they will be sitting at 1-2 after this game here in district competition, and they've got an uphill climb if they expect to be in the playoff picture. And Dorn takes a pitch on the left side, gets a Loeffler dirt work run of 10 yards or more, and a Velazquez chiropractic first down on that run.
Nice job by Traeg there. Just keep pounding away. You know, kept those legs turning.
All right, inside Eagle territory at the 44-yard line with under a minute to go here at Ike Ryan. Rockets in the power eye formation. Give the ball to Van Dorn on the right side. He's carrying tacklers with him up to about the 35. Just short of the 35-yard line, so it'll be 2nd and short. We'll see if we get another playoff. The 35 seconds left in this ball game. Kopke over the ball. They'll send 3 receivers to the right, 1 to the left. Adams ready to take the snap. It's a high snap. He brings it down. He's under pressure, spins away, throws an ill-advised pass, and it's incomplete. He's lucky to get away with that one, Mike Lane.
Yeah, he was, Pat. He was really fortunate that it wasn't picked off.
All right, and that will do it for this one with their final score, 68-12. And, Mike, there's not a whole lot of good to talk about this other than the fact that the second half, the Rockets were able to put six first downs together. And then the first half, they didn't have any unofficially. And they